Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. Hopefully, we can make you smile once or twice as we discuss the world of sports. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. You know, we have to say a quick happy birthday because back in 1976, on December 11th, NBA forward Shareef Abdur-Rahim was born. Now, you might remember Abdur-Rahim. He was a star with the Vancouver Grizzlies for 5 seasons. He ended up being traded by those Grizzlies in 2001, and then he kind of bounced around. He went to the Atlanta Hawks. He was with the Portland Trail Blazers. He finally joined the final team of his career, the Sacramento Kings. Now, Abdur-Rahim was named an All-Star back in 2001-2002. He did play on the United States men's national basketball team that you'll remember won the gold medal in 2000 down in Sydney. But something you might not realize about Shareef Abdur-Rahim, prior to joining the Sacramento Kings, despite the fact he had been a pretty solid player throughout his career, he shared the NBA record at the time for most number of games played without making a playoff appearance. But then, after playing 744 games in the regular season, he did make the postseason with Sacramento when the Kings lost to the San Antonio Spurs in the first round of those 2001-2002 Western Conference playoffs. In that playoff series, he averaged 9 points and 5 rebounds. Now, this season, could we be seeing another player get to his very first set of playoffs? I think it's possible, because they are saying that DeMarcus Cousins is getting close to returning to action with the Golden State Warriors. Now, Boogie Cousins has played 535 games, no postseason in his entire career. Hey, the Warriors are making the playoffs. We know that for a fact. They're going to go to the playoffs. Is Boogie Cousins going to be with them? Watching the Warriors this season, especially once we get past the holiday and as we progress into the season, oh, it's going to be very, very interesting to keep an eye on the Golden State Warriors. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe tell us your favorite NBA player to never make the postseason. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And don't forget that if you're looking to finish up that holiday shopping, be sure to stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and find some Daily Dose gear that is available over there. You can pick up hoodies, t-shirts, coffee mugs, a number of Daily Dose items that you can find over at tpublic.com. So make sure that you head over there to finish up some of that holiday shopping. Hey, today on the show, we will of course be discussing a few breaking sports news stories that we need to get to. But then, we are beginning the process this week of ramping up for the NBA and college basketball seasons. And yes, I know that they're already underway. And we've actually spoken a little bit about them here at The Dose, but we haven't really previewed them all that much. We are going to get that rolling this week. We are going to be looking at some contenders and pretenders in both the NBA and college hoops this week. Today, we're going to be pretty NBA heavy. But first, let's jump into a few things coming out in the world of breaking news. You know how every year we kind of think that the Baseball Hall of Fame voters are just completely out of their minds? Like, they're just off on their own personal agenda. They just have personal biases against different players or different people in the baseball world. Well, over the weekend, we actually got more proof of that. When the Today's Game Era Committee, which meets to try to get veterans into the Hall of Fame that kind of missed their window, when they met on Sunday, here are a few of the names they did not elect into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Are you ready for these names? George Steinbrenner, Oral Hershiser, Albert Bell, Joe Carter, Will Clark, Davey Johnson, and Charlie Manuel all received less than 5 votes. Lou Piniella got 11 votes, so he was short one of the 12 he actually needed. Well, okay, I mean, that must have been a really loaded class. So who did get in, right? Harold Baines, a career 289 hitter who hit a whopping 384 runs and had 1,600 RBIs in his 22-year career. Good numbers, solid numbers, but not Hall of Fame numbers. Well, he got in. His single season high that he ever had was 29 home runs once. And in the Hall of Fame voting, he never drew more than 6% of the vote in 5 different elections. Now, remember, you need 75% to get in. He never got more than 6. On Sunday, he got voted in. Relief pitcher Lee Smith became the 7th pitcher who was primarily a reliever to also make the Hall of Fame. Now, he had a pretty solid career. He had that fastball which helped him become a 7-time All-Star. He had an 18-year career. He owned the saves records when he retired back in 1997 while playing with Montreal. And of course, we know Trevor Hoffman and then Mariano Rivera broke those records, but he had those records for a number of years. But he barely just hit 50% in any sort of Hall of Fame voting previously. Somehow, he got in as well. Well done, Baseball Hall of Fame. I never even need to visit you. There's no reason to when we see silliness like this. Look, I know that we all want our favorite players to get into Hall of Fames or to retire their numbers or have statues built or whatever. But when you put everyone in, it loses its value. And when you put in the above average, or, you know, in Harold Baines' case, the average, but not the actual game changers, it makes me think your entire Hall of Fame is just a farce. It's just a complete sham. Now, I've told you before, I have a personal opinion on what Hall of Fame should be. They should be like a mansion, and you should have like ground level, then you have like the upper level, and then you have like the penthouse at the top. If you were to rebuild the Baseball Hall of Fame, say you have the penthouse, the very, very top floor, you've got the Willie Mays, you've got the Hank Aarons up there. Then you have like the next level down where you have like, I don't know, Ernie Banks or someone like that. You've got the main floor where you've got the excellent players, but they're not like all time best ever kind of players. You've got your, I don't know, Wade Boggs or George Brett's. And then maybe you go down into the basement and you have that one room that's playing the weird music and the smoke's coming out of it and it has the beads over the door. And those are the steroid users down there. We put like the Mark McGuire's and the Roger Clemens and the Barry Bonds. We just put them in there. I'm not saying you can't be in the Hall of Fame, but you can't be on the upper levels. We have to put you down in the, you know, the dirty kind of where they used to keep the dirty movies kind of room. We put you down there. But I mean, Lee Smith, he's a little bit iffy, but I'm okay with him. But Harold Baines, that's a flat out no. Much like the sport of baseball, it might be time to bulldoze the Hall of Fame and, you know, just start over. Let's just start from scratch because we've screwed this thing up so much, we can't possibly bring it back now. I don't know what's going on with the Baseball Hall of Fame. That was a weird, weird vote over the weekend. Moving over to the NBA, the Denver Nuggets are already without guard Will Barton. And then over the weekend, they actually sustained a few more injuries. They lost Gary Harris to a hip injury and Paul Millsap to a broken bone in his foot. Looks like a broken toe. They're probably on the shelf for at least a month, maybe more. And then Jamal Murray also has a lower leg injury that could keep him out a few games. So the Denver Nuggets need to get some scoring punch in their lineup. So yesterday, the Denver Nuggets went out and signed a veteran guard to help ease some of that pain that they have with all those injuries. Hey, they need someone that can come in and shoot it. They need someone that can come in and bring some scoring. You know who I thought they were going to bring in? I thought they were going to bring in Carmelo Anthony, and I was getting very nervous. But they actually went out and maybe took a step down from Carmelo, if that's even possible. Yesterday, the Denver Nuggets signed veteran guard Nick Young. Yes, Swaggy P is on his way to Denver. Now, financial terms have not been disclosed, but the Nuggets announced that they signed Swaggy to the injury hardship relief exception, which is granted by the NBA. They waived guard Brandon Goodwin in a corresponding move to make room for Nick Young. Now, Swaggy P is now 33 years old. Remember, he played 80 games last year with the champion Golden State Warriors, but since he was never re-signed by Golden State, he's become a free agent and no one else took him. Now, here is what I would compare the Nuggets signing Swaggy P to their roster to. Remember back when you were in school and you got paired up with some other students and you had to do like a group project? The Nuggets just signed a kid that got an A+ on his most recent project. The problem is they don't realize he was the kid that goofed off, sometimes didn't show up, didn't do any of the project at all, but he got the A+ because everyone else did all the work. Well, now the Nuggets are looking at Swaggy P and saying, hey, look, his last grade was an A+. Let's bring him in. Hey, Nuggets, don't be surprised if he gets an F this time around. He didn't do any of the work last time. He sat on the bench and watched everyone else do it. Not sure I like that signing for the Nuggets. That could be a little bit of a problem. Nick Young, really? He's going to come in and provide some spark off the bench? Yeah, I doubt it. Finally, in the NFL, we did get a little bit of news. Following their big win over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, the Oakland Raiders have fired general manager Reggie McKenzie. They say that is effective immediately. Now, McKenzie is 55. He has been the Raiders GM since 2012, and he was actually signed through next season as part of a four-year extension he signed 2 years ago. But the Raiders are 3-10, and they have now traded former first-round picks Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper this season for future first-round draft picks. They are trying to rebuild that team around head coach John Gruden. Let's think about this for 1 second. Just briefly. Reggie McKenzie drafts Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. John Gruden trades them, and they're getting rid of Reggie McKenzie. Do you see any problem there at all? Like, the problem might not actually be Reggie McKenzie. I'm just lobbing this out there. I don't know. Either way, just to be clear, the Oakland Raiders are now being run by two guys in John Gruden and owner Mark Davis, who both cut their hair with an axe. Onward and upward, Raider Nation. You guys are going to be rolling any second now. Looking forward to it. Hey, coming back, the NBA and the college basketball seasons are underway. Here is a question for you. In the NBA, which teams are truly contenders and which teams are actually just pretending? We've got a number of each when we get back. So like I said, the NBA season is already almost 30 games in, as crazy as that sounds. And while you might be sitting there saying, really, now you're going to start previewing the season? Now you're going to start telling us who the contenders and the pretenders are? Well, in a word, yes. Yes, we are, because the NBA season literally lasts like 9 months. So we wait. We watch what develops. We talk more football. And as football starts to slow down, then we start to dip our toe into the basketball world. But here's the question. Which teams can truly contend for a title? And which ones can't? Right now, we've got contenders and pretenders for you in the NBA. Now, let's start off with the most obvious choice in the entire league. And that is the team that has won 3 of the last 4 NBA titles. And let's be honest, they would have won 4 of those if not for the NBA trying to drum up some more business. But the Golden State Warriors do have some flaws on this team. They still don't have a bench. Here's the problem. Beating them 4 times? Yeah, it's going to be very, very tough. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond Green can beat you in so many ways. There's just so much firepower there. I don't know how you hold off the onslaught for 4 games. Maybe someone can do it, but I don't know that they can. For all of the weird chemistry that is going on with this team, there's just so much that they have. There's just so many things they do well and so many things they do right that in a big game, in a playoff game, I don't think you can beat them 4 times. I think opposing teams basically have to root for an injury with the Golden State Warriors. And don't forget, like we talked about earlier, DeMarcus Cousins is coming. I don't know how they're going to look with DeMarcus Cousins. I have no idea. But I know this, he is a load in the paint. So I'll just leave that out there. They are the biggest contender in the entire league. Let's look at a pretender, and there are a ton of bad teams in the NBA. We're actually going to name our first pretender probably the worst team in the league right now, and that is the Phoenix Suns, because they are truly dreadful. They currently have the largest point differential in the league. They average, on average, they lose every single game they play in by 12 points. Guard Devin Booker is out with a hamstring injury. That's not helping. And he and rookie big man DeAndre Ayton are already fighting. The Suns are a mess right now. They are definitely a pretender. Going back to contenders, you know, the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference right now are those Toronto Raptors. Remember, in the offseason, they made that move of trading for longtime San Antonio Spur Kawhi Leonard. You know, Russ McKinstry and I discussed Kawhi Leonard a little bit last week on the show, and you do kind of forget just how good Leonard is. He completely changes how the Toronto Raptors look. This team plays a ton of isolation basketball. They go to isolation as much or more than anyone in the NBA. But here's the difference for Toronto. they don't take that many three-point shots. They go ISO, and then they take higher percentage two-point shots. That is a very, very dangerous thing for defenses to have to deal with. That can be very, very tough to stop. Toronto, definitely a contender. They could win the East, and maybe if things fell right, maybe they could contend a little bit with the Golden State Warriors. You know, we have a ton of pretenders over in the Eastern Conference, but we are going to take a team that is not only awful, but it also looks like they've already quit this year and they are having a ton of internal struggles. The Chicago Bulls are injured. They have already fired their head coach. On Saturday, they got beat by 56 points. The players don't like the new coach. The new coach hates the players. The Chicago Bulls are a complete disaster. That 56-point loss, by the way, worst loss in Chicago Bulls history. Hey, Chicago Bulls fans, at least you had the 90s, right? The Chicago Bulls are definitely a pretender. I've got a contender here, and I know they started off slow this season, but I'm telling you, the Boston Celtics are still going to be a team to deal with. They have so much depth. They have so much talent. They're just going to keep getting better. After going to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they get back Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward this year, but it takes some time for all those players and all those personalities to kind of gel. Remember that last season, Boston was so good defensively. That is how they went as far as they did. They're going to take a while to get that back because Hayward and Kyrie, they're different players. They're much better offensively at times. They're both rusty at times. The Boston Celtics are going to get better the longer the season goes. They're definitely a contender. Now, I'm going to give you a pretender. And when I do, I know that Cleveland big man Tristan Thompson, he's going to be surprised by it. He's going to be angered by it. But I'm telling you, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in fact hot flaming garbage without LeBron James. And to be fair, the Cleveland Cavaliers want to be bad. They have even traded away guys like Kyle Korver, mostly because he was trying too hard to win. They don't want that. They are trying to tank as best as they can. This team is really, really young. They want to stay young. They want to get better draft picks. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are a pretender because they are truly awful. Our next contender, I will preface by saying I'm not sure if I trust them all that much just yet. But there's no question that the Philadelphia 76ers are talented and they should be a contender. Like, they have the look of a contender, especially over in the East. You have big man Joel Embiid. No question he should make that team a contender. You have talented Ben Simmons, who while he can't shoot outside of about 5 or 6 feet, hey, what he can do in transition and finishing at the basket, no question, he makes Philly a contender. And now they go out and they pick up two-way player Jimmy Butler. Do you realize that since Philly got Jimmy Butler, he is shooting nearly 45% from three-point range? But here is my concern with Philadelphia. I am already hearing how Joel Embiid is not happy with the amount of touches he is getting since they got Jimmy Butler. I don't know how much faith I have in the Philadelphia 76ers figuring things out, putting their egos aside, and just going out and focusing on winning basketball games. I think this is an immature team. I think this is a team that could easily just implode because of all the personalities they have. But in the East, yeah, I mean, I guess I'll still make them a contender. They're so talented. They have to put all that nonsense aside and just play. And if they do, they're definitely a contender. I've got another pretender here that doesn't make any sense. Because the Houston Rockets are a mess. Just 1 year after they took the Golden State Warriors to the brink of elimination in the Western Conference playoffs, the Houston Rockets look like a complete disaster. Now, we know losing defensive stopper Trevor Ariza, maybe that's just too much for them to overcome. But now, you also have the problem of Eric Gordon not shooting the ball very well this year. He's right at around 35-36%. Chris Paul looking his age on certain nights. James Harden not really looking all that focused on certain nights. And right now, the Houston Rockets are hovering right around the 500 mark. They average just 108 points a game. And they give up 110 points a game. I know that the Houston Rockets are going to make a run. I fully believe that. I think the Houston Rockets will probably even make a push for the postseason as bad as they have started. I expect them to get better after the holiday break. But they have a ton of holes on this team. And I think those holes are too big and they are too much to fill for them to truly be a contender this year. And that is why I will make the Houston Rockets a pretender in this NBA season. Hey, coming back, we have more contenders and pretenders to give out in the NBA. Both the Indiana Pacers and the San Antonio Spurs have made our list, but they might not be on the side that you would think they'd be. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, and now we are officially into that silly season where you've got to do all of that holiday shopping, maybe you have someone on your list that you're not exactly sure what to get. You need to make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Scavenge. What you build depends on what you can scavenge. We've searched through the rubble. We've made some fortunate finds, from the fantastic to the downright alien. So get ready for a collection of seriously cool exclusive gear. December's Loot Crate theme features items from Transformers Bumblebee, Dungeons & Dragons, Escape from New York, and Fallout. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate and you can choose from a huge selection of crates, or you can just go over there and find individual items, and they have just about any franchise you can possibly think of over there. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose every day. So don't worry about what to get that difficult person on your holiday shopping list. Just make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com first. So let's continue looking at the NBA and just kind of handing out some contenders and pretenders in this season of the NBA. And I'm going to give a contender, and I'm going to give it to the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I don't know that they're really a contender to win it all, but could they be a contender in the Eastern Conference? Yeah, maybe. The problem that I have with Milwaukee, I have some concerns about them, and they did start fast. Like Milwaukee sitting on top of the East, they looked like the big dog getting out of the gate. We know Giannis Antetokounmpo is an absolute freak, and he is such a matchup problem. And the Bucks did just make a trade to pick up veteran point guard George Hill. That should help them. He can drive, he can distribute, and he's pretty good defensively. So that helps Milwaukee for sure. But the Bucks really need help defensively. More importantly, they really need help against the three-point shot. They're terrible defending the three-point line. In this era of the NBA, you can't be bad against the three-point line. Just go look at the tape of them playing Golden State last week. You see how bad they are defending the three. Hey, that might have worked back in the 80s or 90s. That doesn't work now. Now, if you're bad against the three-point shot, you're getting lit up. That is my concern for Milwaukee. I still think they can be a contender in the East, but I don't think they're a contender for the whole thing. Let's give out another pretender here. You know, the Washington Wizards, they still have John Wall, and they still have Bradley Beal. Well, just like they have the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and they still aren't going anywhere because those two aren't leading the Washington Wizards to anything ever. In fact, it has now gotten so bad that Wizards management says they are open to the idea of trading either one or both of them. John Wall is such a confusing player to me. He might be the worst transitional defensive player that I've ever seen in my life. And I watched Carmelo Anthony here in Denver for years. But here's something for you to watch for. The next time maybe you're flipping through the channels and you see the Washington Wizards playing, do this. Stop on the game and watch John Wall play transition defense. Now, transition defense is when the other team gets the ball, you watch and see, how do your players get back? Do you give up any fast break points or anything like that? The first rule of transition defense is simple. I know a lot of coaches will say, stop the ball or do this or that. The first rule of transition defense is simple. Get back. Watch John Wall. He doesn't get back. He just stands there. They get the rebound. They outlet it. He kind of does like a one-man little press thing. And then he just walks up the court. Hey, it's 5-on-4. You guys, good luck. And if someone manages to get it, throw it on down here to me and I'll get a quick dunk. It makes no sense. Because John Wall is one of the fastest players in the NBA. Like, you could put his speed up there with like a Russell Westbrook. It's all effort. He has none. He doesn't get back defensively. And he is the leader of the Washington Wizards. And that is why they are a pretender. Now, it might sound crazy, but I am going to give a contender to the Indiana Pacers in the East, which, like I said, might sound a little bit nuts because they're struggling a little bit. But they're struggling because they don't have do-everything guard Victor Oladipo, who is out with an injury for the time being. What they need is for other players to step up while he is out. They need someone like Tyreke Evans to step up and start shouldering some of the load because he's not doing much. And so right now you look at the Pacers and you go, their record's not that good. They aren't that good. I'm telling you, once they get healthy and they get Oladipo back, and maybe this period of him being out allows for some other players to grow and become a little bit better, I still think the Indiana Pacers could be a sneaky team to watch over in that Eastern Conference. We know they're very, very good defensively. If they can generate some offense, look out, because I think Indiana is a very sneaky team over there in the East. I am going to give our final pretender today to a team that I did never think would be here. But I'm starting to wonder, are we watching the end of the Greg Popovich era? Like, we knew with all of the losses that the San Antonio Spurs have endured over the years, they would have to take a step back eventually. I mean, you lose guys like Tim Duncan, you lose Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, they are all gone. But I'm watching the San Antonio Spurs this year. They can't defend anyone. They are so bad defensively. The San Antonio Spurs are a pretender this year because they're allowing 114 points per game. They only score 110. And here's what's worse for San Antonio. This might be even worse news. Not only are they bad defensively, but even when they finally do get a stop, they don't rebound the ball. That is an absolute killer for a team that doesn't play good defense. Last week, for the first time in Greg Popovich's career, the San Antonio Spurs had back-to-back 30-point losses. Hey, I never thought I'd see the day. This team is currently in 13th place in the West. Now again, I expect the San Antonio Spurs to get better. They should improve. Maybe by the end of the year, they start being at least respectable. But are they a contender? No, not with that defense, not with that lineup, not the way they are currently built. The San Antonio Spurs absolutely look like a pretender, and I just never thought I would see that day come under Greg Popovich. Hey, we still have a number of things to cover in basketball this week. Tomorrow, we may have to switch over and take a look at the contenders and the pretenders over in College Hoops, but we've still got some more NBA, we've still got some more college basketball talk, and of course, we will continue to bring you the latest and greatest in sports news. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose today. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you so much. It is very appreciated. Hey, don't forget to stop by tpublic.com, pick up some Daily Dose gear to finish up some of that holiday shopping that you know you need to do. Just go do it. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.